head, so I'd be out of the burrow. And I threw it up and I shot, and down came a bald eagle. So now I got to go to court for that. So we're not gonna do that one anymore. Anyways, Matthew 8.
Timothy. Yeah.
Matthew 8. We'll wait for the paparazzi.
Don't run for 2 hours.
Am I centered? Do I look skinny?
No.
Any better?
Suck it. Much better.
There you go.
So, a true story. I had lost a pen. One of the teen Sundays I did, I put a pen in my pocket so I could write stuff down later. And lost the pen. And I said, who stole my pen? Nobody had it. Ashley very graciously gave me another pen out of her thousands. And so today in Sunday school, I reach back like this and I feel my jacket and there's a pen in the seam of my thing. So I reach down in, hey, there's a hole in my pocket. So I'm in Sunday school class getting my pen back out of my suit jacket. So it's been solved. We didn't need CSI Miami or anybody. We're good. We got it figured out. Matthew 8 and 1 through 3. When he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Dan Asquith, can I get you to open in prayer, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, allowing us to move together today for service that we had earlier, to be with your Lord, to bring to us today. Give him the words to speak.
Amen. This is going to be a very all over the place message, probably. My thoughts. I didn't have anything clearly come to me this week on what I should do, and I kept waiting and kept waiting. And so then I went online late last night and I bought a service, but then Thad preached it this morning. So I tried to throw this together and see if it'll make any sense. But, anyways, the he we're talking about there is Jesus. And I'm pretty sure everybody's aware, but it says Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And we're going to look at some of his miracles and how he healed them. Whether it was, this one is touch, and the next one we're going to see is chapter 8, 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to the man that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. If I can get that out. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Before he touched the leper, here he just speaks it. Doesn't even see the person that needs help. He speaks it. So now we got two different ways. Chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, and he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. So again, it's the touch. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Elias, that guy, the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So again, we have another one touching. Christ touches them, they're healed. Chapter 8, starting in verse 23 to 27. And when he was entered into ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O you little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There he rebuked it. Said, calm down. We don't need a level 3 hurricane or a tornado. Just calm down. And the wind obeyed him. The weather listened to its creator, and it settled down. Next one is in 28 to 32. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of swine, many swine, feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou castest us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And Jesus said unto them, go. And they went, and they were come out. They went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. Again, he was just speaking. He said one word. That's all he had to say, because everything obeys his commands. Everything follows him. Okay? Chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into the own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. All he had to do again is he's just speaking. These people know that he's got a reputation now. He just speaks to them. They're healed. Chapter 9, 18 through 22. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Excuse me. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. This one changed to that person touched Jesus. Okay? Again, they're all seeking and searching of that one they've heard that can help them, that can cure them, that can do something. And they've all asked in a different way. And he's healed them in different ways and different problems they had. He takes the time to work with them. Again, we notice here with this girl, this lady, she reaches out and touches him. That contact, just her touching the skirt, was enough for Jesus, or not skirt, but the robe, was enough for him to understand what had just happened. And obviously in other portions in your Bible, it tells you in much more detail and stuff, but it was her touch, her reaching out and touching that clothing is what healed her. The Lord realized it was her. He touched her need. He healed her.
Amen.
9:23 through 25. Did I already read 23? No. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Again, she was sick, she was dying, or she was already passed. He touches her, brings her out. They're ridiculing him. He's got the power. He's the only one that has the power. Same chapter, 27 through 29. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Now, this is the first time he's asked a question to that magnitude. Do you think I can do this? Where have you heard about this? They said unto him, yea, Lord, we do. Then touch he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. They had the faith that he was the one that could heal them.
Amen.
He didn't just touch and heal everybody or say the words. It was those that he knew, understood who he was and who was helping them. We're going to jump to chapter 20, of Matthew. Like I said, there's many other ones. I just went down through and listed some different ones. So as of now, we have the leper, he was touched, the centurion, he spoke, the sick, he touched, the other two, he spoke to, the paralyzed, he spoke to, the lady touched him, his garment, and the last three were touched, are going to be touched. Chapter 20, verse 29, and we're going to go to 34. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and he, am I in the right place?
Nope.
No, I'm not.
2029.
What's that?
2029,
yes. Yeah, it's not, I got it written down, but that's not it. Anyways, the one I had in mind, it was two blind men, and he...
30.
Yep. This is a new Bible, and I'm having a hard... My old Bible would say that where you're at better than this one does, but sorry about that. 29. There was... Therefore... No, I'm in the exact same place again.
Verse 30 is the blind man.
Chapter 20.
Verse 30.
I jumped all the way to Luke, that's why. We'll get her figured out. That looks a whole lot better, yes. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us." Now again, this is blind people, so obviously people are talking around him. That's the only way they can understand he's going by. And he said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. He didn't say they just thanked him. He said they followed him. He had done such a wonderful thing for their life, he had opened their eyes that they followed him.
Amen.
Do we do that today in our churches? When you see something open to you, do you follow through with it? Do you have a desire to follow that person that gave you sight? Now, we're not anybody that we don't honor. We're not a Joel Osteen church. We don't, it's Joel Osteen. It's whoever's in our pulpit. It's the word of God that's being spoken. We're not supposed to follow that person. We're supposed to follow that word of God. And again, when we hear the word expounded on, and when we hear a challenge from a preacher, do we take it seriously, or is it just we're looking at our watch trying to count the time to get done with it? These men, they followed him. Instant thing. I'm following that man. He has healed me. Christian, if you get saved, that's what you have to do. You get saved, you have to follow him. You can't give him excuses. You have to be in your Bible, in your word, in the house of God, serving him in your house, wherever it may be. You're his child at that point in time. You need to follow him with everything. I'm not saying that I'm there. I'm saying I'm working on it. There's not many people, when they first get saved, can just immediately follow as a grown adult that's eating steak. That's why a lot of times when you're first saved, you have to take some of that milk to get you to the meat. You have to, but if you just say, "I'll open my Bible when I come to church," you're just going to be a slow meal. It's going to take a long time for you to get to that steak. You have to get into it on your own. Again, I talked about the woman in chapter 9 that touched his skirt. The other ones hollered and they said something, but they didn't get a hold of his attention. They didn't get a hold of that piece of garment. She had full confidence and full knowledge that if she touched but just his hem, she would be healed. How many of us know all about him, have a desire to touch his hem? Are we searching and seeking diligently so that we can just get a little bit of that virtue out of his clothing? We want to touch him. Now, Ashley asked me what the message was about, and she goes, did you listen to any of Brother McVeigh's messages? I said, no, I haven't listened to him yet. She said, well, he kind of did the same message with, what are you falling at his feet? If I have to copy his message, I'll copy his message. You need to have a relationship one-on-one with Jesus Christ that supersedes everything else in your life. That's the only thing that's going to get you through this world and get you to the promised land. Not being a good person, not being in church, not doing all the right things, not saying all the right sayings, not being in the sing-along. We had a wonderful time last night at that sing-along. We had a wonderful time at the Morris house before that. Just a heads up, when you come to our house in June, I think it was, there will be an admission fee, but just, it's a small price to pay. It was a good time, but that didn't save anybody that was there. It could if somebody had their heart in the right place and would have been ready for that word of God, ready to devour it, ready to jump onto that word of God and take it for their own. We have several Bibles in our houses. I'm sure everybody has several Bibles, and they collect dust all week long. How do you expect to be ready for the meal if you're not, in your word, eating the hors d'oeuvres? If you're not having that starter, you can't get to the meal. You're not going to be ready for it. Now, there was somebody else that was seeking and searching for Christ, and that's back in Matthew 4, chapter 4. And I'll try to go to Matthew and not go to Luke. Matthew 4, 1 through 3. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan was seeking him. He didn't touch him. He didn't try to get virtue out of him. He's trying to convince him of another way, a better way, to follow him. But Christ was strong enough in his will, in his being, that he quotes back to Satan's scripture. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. FYI, and I'm sure you already know this, Satan knows this book as good as we do. He knows it inside and out. And he can use, how did he trip Adam and Eve up? He lied to them, but he tried using a way of scripture to get to them. You need to be ready, so when somebody gives you a scripture and they question you on it, that you know the answers. Again, you can't just go home by osmosis and put your Bible in your head on it and learn it. You have to dig in and get into it. It's the only way it's going to saturate your life. And if you don't do that, you're not going to be ready for somebody like Satan or one of his demons to come and attack you. Again, he sought out Jesus. And if he's seeking him out, he's seeking us out very hard. What do you, the question I guess I want to ask is, how do you see your relationship with Christ? We heard Brother McVeigh on Friday night talk about how times he had to be busted all the way down until he was on one stone, and that was the rock of foundation of God, and then build back up. Basically paraphrasing a lot of that. When those attacks come, if you're not seeking God, if you're not trying to reach for his garment, if you are not looking for his touch, He's not going to be able to help you. You have to be ready at all times to be, and again, I'm not that person. I'm not very good at memorizing scripture, and I'm not going to be one of those persons that can, when somebody asks me a question, throw out 10 verses to them. But God can bring that back into my mind if he wants me to. He'll refresh my mind and say this verse or this verse. But if you don't study the Word of God, you're never going to know. Touch is a sense. So a lot of these, he touched the person. He had intimate contact with that person to heal them. The others were just simply spoke a word. And health, I don't know how I want to say that, health was affected by it. Obviously, we're not going to go into a hospital, put our hand on somebody and say, heal them. Jesus sent me, heal them, and they expect them to be healed. That doesn't happen anymore. But if you can't witness to that neighbor that's in the hospital, what is there to your life? You've got to be able to know your Bible. You've got to know how to use your Bible. You've got to be seeking for that touch. You want to. We should all have that desire to touch the hem of Jesus. Just get a piece of him. Even if we could get a piece of Jesus, we'd be so much better off. And today, it's not completely on focus, but today we stopped and actually wanted to get a coffee. And we stopped and there was three couples that pulled out on Harleys. Shiny, fancy looking bikes. I love a Harley. I had two at one time. But I said, there goes their service. There goes their God. They're on their God on a Sunday going for a bike ride. Toys are not an evil thing. I loved having toys. Grown-up toys. But you had to have them in the right order. People don't even think about Sunday as a special day. They don't think about it other than it's a day off of work. They can schedule stuff out 3 months in advance, and Sunday is going to be a day off. They're going to do most of their stuff on Sunday because they don't have a desire to be in the house of God. If you are in this room, people across churches across this country, we should be seeking, we should be looking to that touch, trying to touch Jesus. And during our prayer meeting, or when we're one-on-one praying to God, that's our best chance to feel his presence. That's the best opportunity to feel him connecting with us. And if you skip out on that on life, I get it. I'm busy. Everybody's busy. If you don't take the time to talk to your Heavenly Father, to ask him if you're doing things right, you can ask him anything. Should I buy this donut? Should I? Talking about the ice cream. I need somebody to get me an IV of insulin so when I go to that tour I can just crank it up. But I just need the touch of the hem of his garment and I'd be healed. There's too many people. Again, we had a great time last night singing. We know there was lost people there. We know there was saved people there. We were all singing with one accord. It was awesome. But for the people that left were saved, they left knowing where their ultimate resting place is going to be. Those that were there that were lost are still searching for their final resting place. Once we close our eyes on this earth, it's too late to reach for his garment. It's too late to seek him. It's too late to cry out to him.
Yeah, it is.
It's too late. So my challenge to you is, if you're one that's struggling, trying to find salvation, trying to draw closer to God, it's a nice book that'll help you get there. This church does a great job, or I won't say great, but like our young boys club. Obviously, I'm too old to be in that group. But they can challenge each other. They can exhort each other. That's awesome. When I grew up, I didn't have something like that. Not saying that helped me one way or another, but I didn't have that. You guys have an awesome setup thing that I hope you don't ever let go of, because it's a way
of getting deeper into your Bible. It's a way of reaching towards Christ, trying to get that touch, trying to feel His heart in the matter, His desire for you, instead of just trying to figure it out on your own. Lord, we thank You for everything You've done for us. Thank You for Your love and Your strength, and I ask that You would help us through this day, draw closer to You, in Jesus' name. Amen. What was our last song? 504.